Just days before Thanksgiving, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a wide-ranging warning about romaine lettuce. Don't eat it, no matter where you got it from, and if you have some in the fridge, just throw it away. The reason? Another E. coli outbreak, with dozens of reported cases across 11 states and Canada, all of them linked to the ubiquitous leafy green. And unlike previous E. coli outbreaks, the CDC doesn't yet know where this one might have started. But one thing we do know is that farmers aren't required to test their irrigation water for things like E. coli. And though growers were supposed to start testing their irrigation water this year, the Trump administration delayed the rule for at least another 4 years. Here to help us understand all this is Elizabeth Shogren, science reporter with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
And Susie Nielsen is a freelance journalist who reports on the intersection of science and politics. Susie, nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Elizabeth, let's start with you. We've seen similar E. coli breaks. This isn't the first one we've heard about. How has the government tried to address these recurring threats, if they have at all?
Well, actually, the government has been doing a really exhaustive investigation to try to figure out why last spring there was a big outbreak in lettuce at that time was from Yuma, Arizona, also romaine lettuce. And the reason that they did the big investigation was that five people died last spring from eating lettuce, which is supposed to be good for you, right? And they did a big investigation, and they were not able to figure it out. They did find the strain of E. coli in an irrigation canal, the same strain that was making people so sick, hundreds of people sick, and as I said, five people died. But they didn't find how did that get from the irrigation canal to the lettuce that people actually ate at a restaurant or bought at a store.
I mentioned a little bit about this in the introduction to this segment, that there have been multiple outbreaks in E. coli and in our food system. What's that gap that keeps allowing this to happen, Elizabeth?
Well, what we learned is that the federal government had a plan to require farmers, all kinds of farmers across the country, anybody who makes produce that we eat raw, to start testing their water to make sure that the water that they use to irrigate and to mix chemicals is not tainted with some kind of pathogen like E. coli that comes from the guts of animals and can make us really sick or kill us. So the government had never required testing in this. They require testing to see whether our beaches are clean, whether our drinking water is clean. But the federal government doesn't require testing of any kind with irrigation water. Farmers can just take it from whatever source they have nearby. They can take it from the stream running past that could be downstream of a bunch of cows that could be spreading this E. coli disease. It's something that actually was very surprising to me. I didn't realize that the water that they spray on vegetables and fruit that we might eat has not been tested to know if it's clean or not. And then what happened was that in 2006, there was a huge outbreak in spinach, and Congress decided that this can't go on anymore. There was a big law passed, the Food Safety Modernization Act, and they decided that farmers have to start testing. But it took them forever to pass the rules to require this testing. They finally passed it, and it was supposed to start kicking in earlier this year. And instead, the Trump administration delayed these rules for a long time.
Susie, what are the farmers saying about these outbreaks? How have they responded to whether it's the spinach outbreak, the romaine outbreak, and beyond?
I actually visited a farm for this article a couple of months ago, and I spoke with several food safety inspectors and folks that are doing the water testing on the ground, because many farms actually voluntarily test their water. And some of these food safety inspectors say that despite the fact that they're doing this testing, produce outbreaks will occur just because it's so difficult to detect these pathogens in water, because the tests actually just test for the presence of bacteria. So the more bacteria, the more of an alarm that goes off, but they can't detect the most harmful strains. They can't single those out, basically. So what farmers are saying, to me anyway, first of all, is that these outbreaks aren't entirely preventable, even with the current testing that the FDA would have implemented. And secondly, that the regulations that the FDA would implement would be so expensive for small farmers that it would put some of them out of business. I spoke with an apple farmer in Washington who said, you know, first of all of his water comes from the Cascade Mountains, so it's very clean and unlikely to get tainted. And second of all, it would cost him $4,000 in startup costs, which to him is really burdensome because he's a small farmer.
But what are some of those expensive or cost prohibited solutions that they would be concerned about? You mentioned $4,000 irrigation system. Are there other things that smaller farmers would be worried about?
Oh, just things like buying a computer that would enable somebody to keep a bunch of data on. One thing that Elizabeth and I found was that, you know, farmers aren't collecting data in big amounts and sharing them with the government, which would have made it easier for people to trace the outbreak back to its source. And a lot of farmers, I mean, one of the farmers I spoke with said he didn't even have a computer that would host some of this data. So, you know, elementary things like that, or, you know, just regular monthly testing requires somebody to go to all of your sources of water and test them regularly. That can mean something like hiring someone part-time, which many farmers would have a hard time doing.
What about, Susie, but what about any government subsidies or something that could be tucked into the farm bill that would help these smaller farmers and by extension save lives?
That's a really, really good question. And one thing that Elizabeth and I found that we found particularly shocking is that these delays will save the farm industry overall. According to the FDA's own financial analysis, it'll save them about $12 million a year, but it's going to cost the public $108 million a year in healthcare costs and associated costs. So when the costs to the public are that high and the cost to industry so low, you have to ask, why isn't the government stepping in and providing, you know, pretty small subsidies to help the public avoid these kinds of encounters?
Elizabeth, what are lawmakers trying to do about this? I mean, we mentioned that the Trump administration has delayed a decision on this for another couple of years. The Trump administration has also made deregulation a centerpiece of the administration's agenda. So what is there anyone out there who's trying to solve this problem outside of that?
You know, one thing that has surprised me, I do cover many kinds of regulations in Washington, and I've covered them for a long time. And there are, of course, public interest groups that are trying to get attention to this issue. But I've been surprised by how little attention it's been getting from Congress, despite these outbreaks, including deadly outbreaks. Although once there was this deadly outbreak of romaine, then some of the scientists I talked to and some public interest groups we talked to, they said, you know, look, the government needs to do something now to start testing. The government did after they came out with their report of what happened in the spring and why, which basically includes so many questions that they have failed to answer yet. When they came out with their report, they said that we will start a new system of testing the lettuce before people buy it. They haven't provided an update yet of how that's going because this announcement, or even if they've started, this announcement only came out early this month. So I think that Susie and I were both really shocked that there wasn't more of a sense of urgency to do something about this in the meantime. Instead, you know, as Susie just said, we're just willing to put up with $100 million worth of hospital bills, of people getting sick because the government's failing to follow through with its own plan to try to make people safer.
Elizabeth Shogren is a science reporter with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Elizabeth, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Susie Nielsen is a freelance journalist who reports on the intersection of science and politics. Susie, thank you.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.